media give us the impression that the church in this country is in irreversible decline. But the truth is that many churches in Britain are growing. In the Church of England in London, church membership has grown over the last 20 years by more than 70%. In the city of York, one new church has been planted on average every year for the last 30 years. In the same period in Britain as a whole, well over 5,000 new churches have been planted. Of course, that's not the whole story. There are many churches that are shrinking. Some churches have closed. But our great desire is to see the Church of Jesus Christ growing in England and specifically in Crowborough. How can it happen? That's what we've been learning from Nehemiah. His work wasn't just about building a wall, it was about people. Look at the end of chapter 4, verse 14, where Nehemiah says, "Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your kin, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." They were fighting to preserve the people of God, and they were fighting to grow the people of God from the rather low numbers in Jerusalem at that time. Just as we are. We fight in prayer and in our taking the initiative to talk with people to keep those who are already believers in Jesus and to add others to the people of God. So far from the book of Nehemiah, we've seen how God's work can forge ahead, especially with everyone working together. But it wasn't all plain sailing then, and it isn't for us now. Because we, like them, face mocking and threats from outside. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. "Now when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he mocked the Jews." We've met Sanballat before. He was from Samaria. He hated the Jews, and he mocked them. Verses 2 and 3. "He said in the presence of his associates and of the army of Samaria, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore things? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish it in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burnt ones at that?' Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, 'That stone wall they're building, any fox going up on it would break it down.' They got together with people who thought like them and laughed at the Jews' faith. It's just pathetic. They'll never achieve anything. And they said this, as the end of verse 5 tells us, in the face of the builders. In other words, to demoralize the Jews and make them give up. It's just the same today. People are angry with Christians or arrogant, and they mock the Christian faith. One of the best known, although now rather discredited, is Richard Dawkins. He has said, "The best thing to do is to let Christianity die a natural death. When understanding of the universe has become widespread, the masses will know just how absurd the Christian doctrine is." A statement which rather overlooks two facts. First, that Christianity worldwide is growing as fast or faster than at any time in its history. And second, that in this country at least, Christianity is strongest amongst the university educated. Or I wonder if people have said to you, I don't believe in Christianity, I'm a scientist. Though the fact is that there are far more scientists who are Christians than those studying non-scientific subjects. At Newcastle University, when my Sophie was there, about 15 or 20 academics put an advertisement in the student newspaper urging students to look seriously at the Christian faith during their time of study. All but one of those academics are scientists. But still, you and I are facing mocking for our Christian faith. And threats, too, as Nehemiah faced threats. The Jews continued building the city of God, and that just made their opponents more angry. Look at verses 7 and 8. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and the gaps were beginning to be closed, they were very angry and all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. They were rattled. The work of God was progressing. Clearly, mockery was not enough. So they began to issue threats. This is a picture of Russell Bolter in the TV series Heartbeat. He was converted at the church where I served in London when he was a drama student. It's very difficult for a young actor to get work. But Russell was offered a part early on. He turned it down because it involved being naked on stage, and as a Christian, he knew the only woman to see him naked should be his wife if he married. To his amazement, he quickly got offered a part in a different play. It was with a very famous theatre director. He accepted, though he couldn't actually read the script because it was in French. And when the English translation came, he turned that part down because the language was so foul. And this famous director rang him up and said, "I will see to it personally that I ruin your career. You will never get another part." Now, Russell was shaken by those threats, but unmoved. And his stand for Christ gave him many opportunities amongst fellow actors to talk not about morals, but about Jesus Christ, whom he loves and wanted to serve. But actually, mocking and threats from outside the church are not nearly as dangerous as pessimism from within. Now Nehemiah had to face discouragement from his fellow Jews. Look at verse 10. But Judah said, "The strength of the burden bearers is failing, and there is too much rubbish so that we are unable to work on the wall." "We can't do it," they said. "It was all right for a bit at the start, but we can't sustain that. It's just too exhausting." And we Christians sometimes hear the same from our fellow believers. It's unsustainable. Oh, we can pull out the stops for a festival every 2 years, but we can't keep thinking whom we might invite to a men's breakfast or Christianity Explored. We can't keep inviting people to church. It's too much. Or they said to Nehemiah, "They're too strong for us." Look with me at verse 11. "And our enemies said, 'They won't know or see anything before we come upon them and kill them and stop the work.' But in fact, the Jews did hear what they were planning, at least those who live close by, because look now at verse 12. When the Jews who lived near these enemies came, they said to us 10 times, from all the places where they live, they will come up against us. Beware, they said, we won't be able to beat them. They're too strong for us. And that's sometimes what our fellow Christians say to us. It's no good with people today, not with those the people I know anyway. They're too set in their ways. They're not interested. They've made up their minds. You won't get through to them. And this kind of pessimism from members sometimes of our own church family demotivates and demoralizes us. So how could we tackle discouragement, whether it comes from outside, from non-Christians, or sadly from inside, from our fellow Christians? Once again, Nehemiah shows us the way. He teaches us to pray. Follow that through with me from verse 3. Tobiah mocks them and says, verse 3, that stone wall they're building, any fox going up on it would break it down. And Nehemiah's immediate response is to pray. Verse 4, hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their taunt back on their own heads and give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover their guilt and do not let their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have hurled insults in the face of the builders. Now, it may not be a very generous prayer. It might have been a different prayer if he'd known how Jesus tells us to love our enemies and pray for them, but it was his first reaction to pray. You see it again in verses 8 and 9. Sanballat and co., verse 8, all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. Now look at Nehemiah's response, verse 9. So we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. Then the Jews themselves, as we saw, make discouraging remarks. We'll never manage it. It won't succeed. But look at what Nehemiah said to them in verse 14. Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your kin, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Remember the Lord. That means pray. Now, I think this is very striking. Nehemiah is a leader, an assertive man's man. Nowadays, we'd call him an alpha male. But we've seen again and again in this book that when faced with a problem, the first thing he does is pray. That's what it means to be a Christian man. When we face discouragement in our witness for Christ, rather than backing off from Christian witness, what we need to do is pray. Now, of course, that's true whatever our gender. But I want to underline it, especially for those of us who, like Nehemiah, are men. If you're discouraged in your witness for Christ, seek out another man and ask him to pray with you. Let's be praying together when we meet up about the people we are seeking to win for Christ. Discouragement won't last long if together we pray about our work for Christ. And then Nehemiah tells us to keep on at the work. In chapter 3, as last week, we saw almost the whole population of Judah working together for God. That made their enemies angry. Look again at chapter 4, verse 1. Now, when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he mocked us. Nehemiah responded to the mockery with prayer, that's verses 4 and 5, and then they just got on with the work. Look at verse 6. So, we rebuilt the wall, And all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. All the people together were committed to the work. So the work of God, despite the opposition, continued to advance. Verse 7. Now, when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and the gaps were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And that's when the threats came and the plots. Some of God's people, as we've seen, lost heart, but not the majority. Look now at verse 15. When our enemies heard that their plot was known to us and that God had frustrated it, what did we do? We all returned to the wall, each to his work. Isn't that great? They all just kept going. And the only difference was that they took up arms as well. Verse 16, from that day on, half of my servants, he mean they're his special group of paid servants that belonged to his household, worked on construction and half held the spears, shields, bows, and body armor. Those who were carrying the building materials, verse 17, had their baskets in one hand and a weapon in the other. And the builders themselves, verse 18, needed both hands, but had a sword strapped to their side. So they were ready for any attack, but they weren't going to stop working. It's just the same with us. Of course we will meet discouragements, but we will keep on working to win people for Christ. In the autumn, I asked a man, not yet a committed Christian, if he would read the Bible with me. He said no. But he did say he'd look at the just looking one-to-one Bible material. So I sent it to him with a note to say, I would still love to read the Bible with you if you want. Well, at Christmas, he said yes. In the new year, he put it off again. And the temptation for me is just to let it drop. Not that he's been at all difficult, but I say to myself, I don't want to hassle him. You know who's behind that thought? Our enemy, Satan, who always wants us to back off. And Nehemiah tells us to have our weapons ready against enemy attack and meanwhile to keep on at the work. Actually, there's a little postscript to that story, and I know you know who I'm talking about, because egged on by Nehemiah, I gave him a ring, gave him a phone call, spoke to his answer phone. He's just called me back to say he's got a new job. Can he put it off for 6 months? Well, again, the temptation, let it drop. But no, the first thing I'm going to do when I get back home is put in my diary for 6 months, ring so-and-so again. And thirdly, stick together. There's only one thing wrong. To see that, you need to turn over the page to page 19. Nehemiah is speaking. Verse 19, I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is great and widely spread out, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. And that was dangerous. If they weren't in close touch with one another, they would be more liable to attack. So Nehemiah arranged for a rallying point if ever they needed one another. Verse 20, rally to us wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet. Our God will fight for us. And even by night it was important that they stuck together. Look at verse 22. I also said to the people at that time, let every man and his servant pass the night inside Jerusalem so that there may be a guard for us by night and may labor by day. That way they were safer. And perhaps it prevented people slipping off home and not coming back to the work. They kept each other up to the mark. They helped each other to be dedicated workers for God. Look at verse 23. So neither I, nor my brothers, nor my servants, nor the men of my guard who followed me, ever took off our clothes. Each kept his weapon in his right hand. It's when we're out on a limb, trying to witness on our own without support, that we get discouraged and give up working for the growth of God's kingdom in Crowborough. That's why it's so good in the house group to pray for one another's witness for Christ. Over half term, Catherine and I went up to Alice in Liverpool, and in her church, when they meet, they share three things for prayer. Something from your school or work, something from your own family or your own needs, and someone you are trying to lead to Christ. I'm hoping we'll do that regularly in our staff prayer. It would be great to share in the same way in your house group. Something from your school or work, something from your family or your own needs, and someone whom you're seeking to lead to Christ. Everyone sharing those three things. It's why I don't normally go visiting door to door on my own. I like to go with the Crowborough visiting team. They encourage me. They keep me up to the mark. It's why at or after school, it's good to meet up with one or other Christian, another Christian from your school, and talk together and pray together about the people you want to talk to about Jesus Christ. It's not good, says Nehemiah, to be too spread out. You'll be too vulnerable, too open to enemy attack. But if we stick together as the people of God, we'll keep at the work. The truth is, we're in a fight. It's not just building a wall or a church. It's not just talking to people we meet whenever we can about Jesus. It's a fight. Turn back a page to verse 8 of chapter 4. All these people plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem, all the enemies, and to cause confusion in it. And we therefore need to face these enemies in the fight, the enemies of discouragement, the enemies of pessimism, even from those who were looking to support us, who pour cold water on the work of witnessing for Christ. The enemy ultimately who is Satan himself. We're in a fight against all these things. And we need to fight for the people of God. Did you see that in verse 14? Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight, says Nehemiah, for your kin, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Fight to keep them and fight to win new people for Christ. And that fight, that constantly putting ourselves up to the mark in order to pray and to speak and to screw up our courage to do it might just be too burdensome. It might be just very discouraging, except for the end of verse 20. You might need to turn over the page one last time. The end of verse 20, which simply says, our God will fight for us. As I tried to read the Bible one-to-one with this man who's proving rather elusive, As you invite someone to the evening with Rico Tice, about which you've been given a card as you've come in, and then on to Christianity Explored, or you bring someone along to the Christian Union at your school, if you have one, or to Open to Question here, we are not alone. God will give us the breakthrough. Not every time. That's the way of battles. You do lose some. But God is fighting for us.
Then a little bit narrower